I praise Him tonight in spite of all that I face. I praise Him tonight for the ark of safety that I'm in. Hallelujah. I am determined to finish this race with gladness. And I may run into some bumps along the way. And I may have some people to frown upon the way that I'll carry myself in Him. But praise God, when I come to the end, I'm going to have some gladness in here. No matter what anybody will try to do, I'm going to come through this race a little bit lighter than I did when I entered it in. Hallelujah. If you've got a weight upon you tonight, know that God is here to lift it up off of you. Hallelujah. If you came in heavy tonight, know that we have a way to cast it off of us. Hallelujah. It's when we make up our mind to do it. See, you may not see it on me right now, but there's an ark of safety all about me. It may not be something you see, but it's something you know. Hallelujah, I'm glad that I have it. Tonight I want to reflect on something with you that I've been reading and studying lately upon the presence of arks in the Bible. And how many of us know every ark that was ever built for God had a reason? It had a purpose. And then when you read about Noah and his journey, God laid it out from the very cubit of how that was supposed to be. And He gave him the directions for what was going to save him. It wasn't how big that the ship was that saved him. Hallelujah. And it wasn't how that it was pitched that brought them through. But it was how that he listened to every word that God had spoke. He hadn't seen a single raindrop yet, but God spoke that the floods were coming. Hadn't seen a drop of rain yet, but knew that a storm was on the way. And some of us tonight may not see the rain in other people's lives, and you may not see the floods yet, but hallelujah, if we're ever going to come through anything with an end other than destruction, we've got to begin to follow the very word of God as it's spoken to us all the way from the beginning to the end. You can't leave one part out and expect that it's going to hold through the storm. You can't go through life without having the complete instruction of what God's trying to do. I thank Him that though it's hard at first to hear how big that I'll have to build the boat, or in other words, how that I'm going to have to change me and rebuild me, but if I follow what He says, and if I follow Him and be obedient, though other people may think that I'm crazy because I'm building a boat in the middle of the day and it's a dry and barren land, hallelujah, you better be ready for the flood when it comes by in your life. Life has ups and downs, and it has floods in dry places, but one thing that we know for sure is that we are in the ark of safety if we're obedient and heed to His word. Sounds easy when it rolls off the lips like that, but it's one of the hardest things to do. Well, Lord, I'm not equipped with everything that I need. Well, God, I need to be closer to You first before I make it through this. I'm here to speak to you tonight, and I want to remind you that it has nothing to do with you when it comes to just listening to what God would want to direct you in. And it's not complicated to begin to change our life for Him, but it's in simply hearing His word and knowing where it goes and beginning to build in your own life. God appointed things that go inside of Noah's boat, two by two at the time. Why? Why would He put all the animals inside of an ark when He spoke the very breath in their life in the beginning of time? If that were the case, we could go to the beginning again and be able to speak animals into existence by God's word once more. So why would God go through so much to make sure that wildlife was preserved along with man? And I asked God and sought Him about this, but I began to realize that God was showing His love for the things that He had created. And He was showing His devotion to preserve life by those that were willing to heed to what God would instruct them. Preaching isn't popular anymore. You may hear people speak good words to you, and it may feel like that it's the right thing, but you better build your ark out of something that's going to last you. You see, it was made of gopher's wood. It was wood that was going to withstand the flood. And if you hear this fake preaching that's trying to tell you to go every way but God's way, you better make sure that your materials are going to stand through it. Because the word of God that I hear that changes me, it's rough at first, and it breaks the very yoke in my life, and I feel myself break. But then when I come out of there, I feel the preservation of life, and I feel the ark of safety and how strong that it is. I praise Him that what I'm built up in Him is strong. Strong when I can't be. Strong when I'm weak. Which brings me to the next ark that we'll talk about. When I'm weak, or not even able to do a thing. Moses' mother knew that she had to give up him. Knew that she had to give him up, couldn't keep him. There was a mandate on the land to kill all of the children. Had to give him up. So what did she do? She began to build an ark to put him in. And all the while, I'm sure while she's putting this together, she probably couldn't foresee where the end destination was going to be. But she put that child in there. Now I want you to picture this with me. This child was laying in something built by somebody else. Sometimes when we're weak, the church, say the church, has to begin to build something up under somebody. So if they're not able to swim in the flood, that we have what we need to build it for somebody else. Hallelujah. There's no more of a weaker state that you could be in than a child that's not able to get out of an ark and swim in it. That is full and complete trust and faith in what it's laying in. And if our faith isn't in a place where we're able just to totally throw back and trust God, then we're hanging on to things, trying to intervene in things that we can't change. And God's wanting us to be closer than we've ever been before. Even as a child, hallelujah, you may not understand what God's doing, and you may not know how He's leading you when you first step out there, but if you do it, He'll bring you through to safety. That child was in safety. That ark was built with purpose because it took that child to where he was going to grow, still had life. And I praise Him to know that when all else fails, and when you're going through dry places, or you can't get people to get with you in the zeal that you feel in your heart, that when you have that full and complete faith, that there will be an end. And God will pick you up and put you in your appointed, anointed place. Hallelujah. I praise Him for the ark of safety. I praise Him to know that when I lay my head down at night, and if I didn't wake up tomorrow, that all is well in my heart. And there's no greater place to be than fully and completely knowing that God has saved your life. And there's no better place to be than to release all of the cares of life. I don't think that thing would have floated if there was all the baggage that would have went with the child. Sometimes we have to leave our baggage behind to allow ourselves to make it through something. Praise the Lord, I'm here tonight to remind us that it may feel hard sometimes, and it may be tough sometimes, but when you let the praises of the Lord begin to resound in your heart, it will make a difference, not only for you, but for somebody else. It's important sometimes to remember just how safe that you have it. Don't think that it's by chance tonight that you've been safe all week long. Don't think it's by chance that God has kept you another day. Don't just take it for granted that His blessings are just falling upon you in your life. There is an appointed reason and a season to give back what God gives to you. If He brought you through a storm, then He has a
He has a work for you to do, and He has a place for you to stand, and He has somebody that needs you to obey God fully and completely.
We feel so forsaken sometimes, and feel alone sometimes. We get beat down and beat low, beat around, pushed around. But I want you to realize that you are in a special place. If you call out on God, and even though you've been beat up here and there, you have something on the inside. Hallelujah. When a tempest was raging, as Christ was going across the waters, the very ones, I guess you could say, that were the closest to God and closest to Christ were on that boat. And as they were going across, as a tempest began to rage, you would think that people of great faith would have been able to handle going across a little storm and seeing something bump around in the water. I hope tonight that you get a hold of this, that though they may be worried, and though they were called and they were anointed to do a work when they were going through the storm, hallelujah, they finally realized that there was somebody inside that boat that was going to help them. Hallelujah. And when they were weak, they went to King Jesus, and He spoke to the wind. Oh, and then He spoke to the water. Hallelujah. When trouble's raging, when you call on King Jesus, He'll be your rock of safety. Hallelujah. And He'll bring you through every trial, and He'll keep your life. I wish I could get 10 people in this church to go ahead and give God some praise. I wish I could get somebody to help me preach. Hallelujah, it's pulling hard, but I'm going to pull this thing through. Even if everybody leaves me behind, you've got to know that you're in safety. Don't give any excuses, and don't be weak, for in you are made strong by what's inside the boat. Woo! You're made strong by what's inside of you.
Paul made it all the way through on a boat that wasn't built to finish the course. Woo! Somebody's not getting a hold of this. And I'm telling you, if you don't, you're missing a blessing. Paul made it all the way through the course on a boat that the storms had beat up so much that it was meant to sink. And some of you may feel like that you've made it so far and you've just got to roll over and die. But God never put life into anything that He wanted to die and land into destruction. He made it all the way through. And you'll make it all the way through when you have the faith. When you have the faith to know that you'll come through the other side, the boat may be beat up and the mast may be torn, but bless God, you will make it through and you will not be alone. I feel the devil getting afraid up in this place.
Oh, church, we don't want this. You don't want this kind of word. You don't want to hear this tonight. We'd rather just whine and complain that the tempest is raging than actually get it fixed. Churches don't want to hear the real truth anymore, because the truth is, you don't have to whine your way through something. But you cast your cares to the Lord, and you hear this, He'll bring you through anything. Ooh, your boat may be beat up and your mast torn. And by the even standards of modern physics, would have said that thing should have sunk. But God is Alpha tonight. Before you ever started anything, before you were ever brought into the world, He was Alpha. He was already before you. And He predestined your life for His pleasure. And I want you to know that He's also the Omega. He is the end. And when you reach something at the end of its course, I hope to be there when I hear you praise God for Him bringing you through it. But none of us are coming through to the end tonight because our faith is weak. And Christ helped them in that moment. But what's the first thing that He said when the waters calmed? Where's your faith? Where's your faith? They were going over a waters. It was like the depths were as if you were going through a wake zone on the lake.
Not a place that you would expect great tribulation or great winds. But don't let winds stop what God's doing. You know, to be honest with you, I went through it some times in my life where it was so hard to continue in my praise life. Sometimes I felt like, Lord, this just it just seems out of place, God, for me to praise you right now. Lord, some people's got their eyes on me and got my number and thinking, what is he thinking? You see, some people will envy you when you're on your way out of the storm because they're not willing to commit to bring themselves out of it. We've got lots of half-heartedness, but show me somebody that's going to be committed to come out on the other side. You would have thought that it would have been enough for that boat to come to its end and Paul get off of it. But yet, once again, for the people on that shore, he was tempted. How was he tempted? He was bit by a serpent. He was tempted to complain. And he was tempted to be afraid. And hear this, you may be tempted to be afraid. And it may feel natural to be scared of what's going to come for somebody. Or what's going to come for your life or for somebody's healing. But God can't move when we're half-hearted and afraid. He needs a full-blown commitment. Hear this. Yeah, I know it's not popular, but we need some fully committed Christians that are willing to step out and to be faithful and to know that even though the serpent may strike you unexpectedly, but if you're under the power of God, you'd be able to shake that thing off and hallelujah, act as if nothing ever happened. And hallelujah, I don't know if they were in awe more that he was able to survive the bite or if they were in awe of his confidence when he shook it off. And if we get confident in our heart, people would begin to be in awe of the God that lives inside of you. You'd be able to speak to somebody else's storms and say, get thee hence, and see the trouble begin to flee. I'll testify to this to you. The other morning, my arm was just aching, an unexpected ache out of the middle of nowhere. And I asked my wife, I said, please pray for me right now. Let's pray together. And she was somewhere else, and I was at work. But I began to pray, and all of a sudden, it was as if that healing just fell upon me. And I felt that lift from me. And hallelujah, I didn't know what else to do but to cry, because it made me realize that when we get afflicted with little aches and pains here and there to cause us to be afraid or fearful. I could have sat there and said, well, I guess I'm on my way to carpal tunnel, or I guess I'm on my way to something to do with my arm. But tonight I don't feel a thing. The only thing that I feel is the confidence to know that God is going to do the perfect work. I feel like preaching. I hope somebody don't put a wall in front of me. I'll run. I thank him tonight to know that though I don't see it, we don't see it sometimes, but when you walk by faith, you're not walking by sight. You're not going to see God's hand keeping you through something. And you may feel utterly most miserable in the middle of it. And I'm speaking to at least five or six in here right now. I see it all over you tonight. I see that countenance and how this is meaning something to you. It's time to do something more than sit on the boat and expect a bad outcome. It's time that we get out of the boat and begin to trust God. There was one of the disciples that just dared in himself enough to be able to step out in faith and get out of the boat. And there was other people highly called that I'm sure was wondering what in the world had got into Peter. What in the world had caused him to get out on the water. And though I may not see myself walking on the streams in this life, I know and share the same confidence that when I walk out in something that I would expect to happen, that through faith I'll come through and be able to live another day. Be able to finish the race. Mark chapter 4, 36th verse. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Water was beginning to capsize the boat. It was sinking. Tonight you may be lost and not have a relationship with Christ. And there's no better way to describe emptiness than to feel like you're sinking. You may feel like that just one thing after another just being thrown in your life. And you're thinking, you may say these phrases sometimes, God, I can't handle something else. I just can't handle another thing. There are people tonight on the brink of not being able to come through disaster. There are people that are lost that don't know the joy that we have. And yet we're still on the boat, church, looking around at the water and saying, God, where are you? God needs some people, me included, that even though we may see storms raging, that we remember that we're not walking by what we see. You see, Paul had something else to do. And Jesus had something else to do. Moses had something else to do. Noah had something else to do. It is not our place to sit and dwell in weariness. Because tonight I'm here to tell you that no matter if you're preacher, teacher, singer, exalter, praiser, handshaker, hand clapper, money giver, whatever it is, you have something else to do. You have somebody that needs to hear the word from you, but we'll never get to where we need to be unless our faith begins to work in the moment of where we are. Unless you realize that though I may be sick tonight, that God is my healer, unless we get a hold of that, and the feelings and thoughts and prayers and faith of healing is greater than your fear of sickness, hallelujah, you'll dwell in that boat and it'll begin to capsize and you'll begin to feel yourself shift and feel yourself tossed. Does anybody know what it feels like to be tossed? One day you're on top of the mountain and you tell everybody, praise God, I'm going to make it. And then the next day you tell them, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. Get through the day, hallelujah. Another day goes by and you come into church ready to shout, and another time you wish the preacher would shut up because it's getting all over you. Hallelujah. Have you been tossed tonight? Has the winds of life took its toll? Realize that you're in the ark of safety. Realize that by salvation that the devil can't have what is committed to God. Been tossed tonight. In the first few months that I began to preach, even here, I was tossed. Lord, I'd get people, give me good job, brother, this, or enjoyed that word, and made the small mistake of realizing that the praises of man mean nothing when it comes to gaining real strength for your life. In the first few months, I would be able to preach fire one day and have to sit down the next from defeat. Tossed, moved about, set aside through the cares of life. And I open up and confess this to you for one reason only. I want you to know that I've gained victory over being tossed. And you may not tell me good job, but hallelujah, I finally learned to listen to the one that is the one that will give me the pat on the back. It's the same voice that appointed Christ when he went by the river and John turned around and said, behold the Lamb of God. He said, behold the Lamb of God. And hallelujah, behold, there's change coming. Behold, God is moving for you. I was tossed. My commitments had begun to slip away. And I began to ask, well, God, what's the point in even showing up, Lord? I just don't feel like that I'm seeing or accomplishing what you had put in my mind or in my vision. Commitments begin to slip. Hallelujah. Building projects begin to slip. Sunday schools will begin to slip. Praise and worship will begin to slip when you're tossed to and fro. Don't ever expect your choir to be on fire unless you're allowing your faith to do a work that you'll sing at the same day today, and the same faith will help you sing it the next time, and the next time it'll help you to preach the same way every time. Been tossed to and fro, not realizing the ark of safety, and therefore getting out of the boat with faith is dangerous tonight. Jumping out and just saying, I'm going to do something that God's called me to do, and not putting any armor of God on. Your feelings are going to be hurt, and you're going to be ready not to preach to somebody but beat them up. If you are not prepared to witness to the world and face the persecutions thereof, I would encourage you to get stronger in the Lord and get yourself ready for such a time. I believe there's been so many preachers where mentors have not stepped up and said that you need to be ready and give them counsel and help them, and they'll preach 2 to 3 services on fire and you never hear from them again. Or you'll have some of the best singers that I've ever heard. And I heard somebody say this once, the best singers aren't up here. They're the ones that's sitting back not willing to pay the price and to be able to commit some faith to do the will of God. Tossed to and fro, winds raging, boat capsizing, don't see anything else, and even though that the boat was taken on water, Christ was still in there. And Jesus wasn't weary, but he was what? Asleep. The only way that we can recognize being asleep as something significant is if you begin to talk about the rest of God. And I want you to hear this. If you've been tossed and you've been there with me, thank God there's somebody human in 13th Street. If you've been tossed to and fro and been able to have church today, but next week it's not so easy, thank God that you're human and that you've been through it the way that I have. But tonight I want you to know that though you may be tossed to and fro, that there is a rest and a place to dwell in faith, that you'll be comfortable in the midst of trials. You mean to tell me that though I feel this way right now, that there's rest? Brother, you don't know how bad it is. Well, you must not know the God that I serve. Hallelujah, if you knew the God that I serve, he causes me to rest and to be at peace when everybody would be against me. To God be the glory. When everybody don't receive you, shake it up and go on. He's the same God. I rejoice with my sister's words tonight. Hallelujah. And I'm right there with her. God is still God. And if you hold yourself back tonight, nobody can do anything about that but you. They could sing all the wonderful anointed songs that they could come up with, but it still will not break your spirit. Because if you're holding against the will of God, not only will it hurt you in the moment, but when you really need Jesus in the bottom of the boat, it's going to be hard to get a hold of something that'll cause you to be in rest. I can't hardly help myself tonight because I know that somebody's getting ready to hit the floods, and we're not ready to go through it yet, but know that God sent this word right now. God sent this word right now to tell you that before the floods are on the way, to be ready with your faith, that when they come, that you'll know that Jesus is with you. Yeah, I'm just as tired as you are, and I want to go home just as bad as you are, but God's spirit is too great on me to let go yet. Ooh. I would give back those 15 and 20 minutes every now and then when God's spirit was moving strong and I held back to be able to have not went through the suffering that I went through later. I would give anything to go back to those 5 and 10 minutes where somebody said, God is calling you to come and God is calling you to be ready. And if there's anybody that needs help, that I'm here for you. I wish I would give back those few minutes when somebody said, God's ready to heal you. God's ready to heal you, and you begin to hold back because you think, well, Lord, that's not for me. But I want you to know healing is for everyone, because by his stripes, we, as in everybody that'll believe, are healed. Woo! He was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and said to him, Master, carest not that we perish? What? The boat's flooding? No. He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. When faith has its perfect work, you'll begin to understand what the calm means. And when you finally have the rest of God, even if the winds were raging, church, you're not going to feel anything. It's the same calm that was over Stephen. When people begin to throw stones at him, even though he was just doing what was right. And I've wondered, God, what was it that kept him from climbing out? And God, what caused him to fall asleep? What caused him to be at peace when everybody around him persecuted him? What was it that caused Christ to bear the suffering for us and brought him to peace when all was at its worst? Tonight, there's only one word that I can think of, and it's love. You don't have an ark of safety just to see how strong that you are. And you don't have the rest of God just to feel calm every now and then. But God, even with Noah and with David and with Moses, did all that he did and brought them through, even with Paul, because he loved them. God, what is it that's going to help me tonight? What is it that's going to bring me out of this? I'm tired. His love is ready. Would you step out with me? Would you see the ark of safety that's around you tonight? Would you be faithful as not by sight, but as by confidence, to know that he will do the work? And you may not come out with what you started with, but if you finish this race with gladness, you're going to have something that people that are already gone and in hell are longing to have. I can't imagine hell being so bad that somebody that was in hell would have the love to beg to send somebody to his brothers. It must be pretty bad if somebody that's already in torment has the love to say, please send somebody to help them. And I've been in some suffering, and I'm willing enough to take the darts and the stones and everything that comes with standing here tonight to tell you that there still is a way out of what you're going through, and there still is rest in this life. Not everything is bad, but that which is God's and what God created is good. He built an ark of safety around you because he loves you. He keeps you every day and brings you to another night where you lay your head down because he loves you. And he brings you through each day and every day that you're blessed to have, because there's a purpose for you to be here. You need to begin to start bearing witness to the goodness of God. And then you'd be able to have the confidence, hallelujah, to shake off any serpent and come through on any storm and be able to do the work of even Paul if you'd be willing to. You see, there's nobody willing to pay the price that Paul did. Nobody willing to have the faith to come through the storm. We'd be better yet off to sit by the boat dock and watch somebody else. We live in a world where it's reality TV and watching everybody else go through it. Or maybe the president will get it figured out. But if not, I'm just going to criticize him. But we don't have the faith to believe that if we prayed that God would put in leadership, that we begin to see change. We're just going to settle for the boat sinking and not know that Jesus Christ is going to make a way. Rather than being faithful that God will continue to bless our church services night in and night out, we're only faithful to believe that maybe it'll be tonight or maybe it'll be next week. It's hard to get anybody to amen, because then they might actually have to step up and start being continual every service. We want to allow ourselves a season of grace that if we don't feel like it tonight, that God knows. But I want you to understand something. That in your season of standing and saying God knows, There has to be something that still brings you into rest. You're not going to rest when you're on fire for God. You're going to rest when you need it. And you're going to be faithful when you're in a hard time. And you're going to praise Him when you come through. So if you're low tonight, get some faith with me and say, God, I don't see it, but I know it's on the way. God, I know they're sin sick, and I don't see it coming yet. Woo! But I know that it's on the way. If we're ever going to save anybody, if we're ever going to save anybody, if we're ever going to save anybody, somebody help me tonight. If we're ever going to save anybody, we're going to have to be faithful in a hard time. People are being drawn by the noise of worship and not the love of worship. People are being drawn by the craftiness of a speech that somebody would give that has God's name in it instead of the love of God that would come through the word. And let me tell you something, they're not going to be saved that way. And even if they think they are, they're being deceived and it'll be hurt down the road. Because when the floods of life come and sin begins to come and tempt them, they are not prepared, nor do they have an ark of safety. And the word of God talks about it like this, that they shall burn in a lake of fire. There is no safety for you tonight if you do not have Christ. There is no safety for you when this life is over unless you have Jesus. Hell is your home when you leave this walk of life. Until I think that finally some hope starts breaking through. You get so beat down with life, you're not able to receive praise and worship. You won't get it. It'll go right by you. You won't even know that the Holy Ghost is falling down because you're so beat down and capsized in the boat that you begin to sink. But even out in the water, church, God loved us enough to show us that Jesus was there. Peter stepped out in faith in the beginning and began to sink when? When he took his eyes off of Jesus. And how many of us have took our eyes off of Jesus? Sure, we all have. So for somebody that's feeling a little afraid or embarrassed to come, I want you to know that everybody has sunk in the water before. And there is a graceful way to go into the water. How's that? Coming into your ankles, coming into your knees, and overflowing yourself with the full trust of God in His Spirit. There's people that are seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost in here tonight. Been in question of why they haven't got it yet. But I want you to know when the storms of life are raging, you've got to let them go. And you've got to be faithful and desperate and hungry for something more than just how you're feeling. You've got to be desperate and cry out to God with sincerity. Don't come up and just say you want something to add to your life. It's something that's going to help your life. Don't treat God like a McDonald's and think if you order it, it's going to come down. You've got to pay a price, and the price is laying off your sin. And when you lay off your sin, Jesus Christ comes in and begins a change. And as you're willing to keep that sin off, God will begin to bless you with the abundance. Say abundance. You get the Spirit of God in your life and you recognize it when you're saved. But when you begin to lay off more and come closer, you begin to feel an abundance of His Spirit. Or as we know it, as the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because yes, we go into the water. And yes, that shows the world that we've changed our ways. But when you want to begin to be a witness to somebody, you better have the fire. You better have the abundance. Or you're not going to make it as a witness. Try to tell me that you're going to go through life without the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you, you got no leader to direct you in times that are hard. I said this the other night. We need to stop socializing and get to baptizing. And you're not going to baptize a thing unless you've got the fire. And I'm not saying that you don't have salvation. Understand, to baptize with fire, you must have the fire. Because you must have the confidence to know that it's there. If you want to sing like you hear some people on YouTube or here or there, they had to pay a price. And they had to get the fire. So if you want more and you want greater and you want to preach with a greater anointing, you're going to have more than head knowledge or how you think the doctrine should line up and people should believe. When you have the fire, you're not going to come in and justify doctrine. You're going to come in and preach the fire so that somebody will either feel the conviction to come in or go out. The power of God has that kind of effect. It's a drawing power. But those that resist are not able, hear this, not able to sit in the fire, because they would begin to be burned if they were trying to sit in the glory of God. You've got to come one way or the other. But if people don't feel the heat from you, they're not going to be afraid of sin. And they're not going to be afraid to be tempted and to give in to life. Got to have the fire. Got to have some conviction deep down in your heart. You've got to have something that's burning in you. Got to have something that you can draw to. And I have, being free from drugs. Nobody can take it from me. Nobody can replace the feeling I got when God delivered me. And that's what brings me fire. We're not peeping coals of fire on anybody anymore. We're throwing charcoal and hoping it burns. You're not going to throw this man-made stuff. You could change your Bible version to ESV, CSV, NKJV, the New Living Translation, the New Living Version of Jared, because he writes it and likes it that way. You could change it any way you want, but without the fire, nobody will ever hear a word of it. People are so caught up in letting their churches shut up and shut down because of the version of the Bible or because they believe one way. Hallelujah. I heard of one church that broke up because they debated on whether they were on a white horse or not. But if that's where your heart is and you're not concerned for somebody's soul, then the fire's not burning. You've got the wood to burn and you've got the sand to burn, but God's not consumed it yet. Because let me tell you, when you have the fire, it'll cause you to preach when you're tired, and it'll cause you to help people when you don't have it to give. When your body finally takes its last breath and there is no more that you can do, I want you to look within yourself tonight and think about today for tomorrow. What is it that was living in you before you had to let go? Have you went thus far in life and not fully committed to God like you wanted to? Do you feel like that the price is too expensive for you to pay the cost? Know this. I'm coming for you. Christ paid the price so that it would be free. So the value that you place on how something is so great of a hindrance is only in your eyes. God put it like this. And I'm speaking to some people's trials in here. I feel a Shekinah glory in me right now. That which is impossible to man is possible with God. And if that would have been enough for me. But God wanted to put into perspective how we see things as so great. And he said it like this, Sister Doris, but it's but a small thing. It's a small thing. Nothing that you've used as an excuse is big enough to keep you from the promise of God. And there is no cost that is too great that Christ didn't already pay for. And out of his love, he spoke to your spirits. Each and every one of us at some point, and we know what it feels like to be drawn in the fullness of that. And I thank him tonight. And I appreciate your time tonight. But I'm thankful for the ark of safety. Can we give God praise tonight? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You better be ready for the flood, church. Because if God gives you a word like this and you hear it, you've been accountable.
Amen.
And it's not preacher's fault anymore. Right. You know, everybody's asking for the preachers to preach the fire, but when we hear the fire, we don't want to take it because it's too hot. Yeah. If you heard it tonight, you're accountable.
Yeah.
I may not have tomorrow to come back and clarify this. I'll be real quick, and I want you to know that when you hear it, it's time to be accountable, and it's time to not just be a hearer.
Amen.
But a doer.
Amen.
I'm so sick and tired of being tossed. And I'm ready to be faithful and completely trust in him.
Amen.
I'm sick and tired of seeing people's boats be tossed around. Yeah. But the same Jesus that's in my boat, it's the same one that's in yours. I'm sick and tired of the enemy being with our crutches, begging somebody to drag us in here, hopping in every prayer line that we can find, hoping that today's the day. And already come in with the faith.
To help you get into the presence of the Lord. I don't have time tonight to explain every service why we need to give God praise. If you don't already know that, then you're not looking at what He's already done. I don't have time to justify why I praise the Lord. I don't have time to justify why God puts the word in me. Like, we need to be in a hurry for somebody that's lost. The floods are coming, church. And while we're bickering about doctrines or when God really fell in the service, somebody's going out without hope. And I will to God tonight that we get past our childish ways and begin to grow up and know that God's God. God's going to do it. Don't worry about it. Come into church ready to praise Him. Don't come in like a child and say, Daddy, where is my blessing? But know and be an adult. And if you go without for a little while, know that God will supply it just like He did to Job. I'm sure it felt like a great loss, but the gain was greater than the loss. What profited a man to gain this world and lose his soul? What profited us to keep going to churches and getting somebody to bless us when we lose ourselves? But to gain Christ is to lose yourself. And even as Moses was a child, he began to just lay in the ark, didn't know what else to do. And there was somebody that heard the cry. Somebody heard that child crying. And just the same way that you would begin to cry out in your time of trouble, God is your cry. Oh, somebody don't want to let go of their excuse tonight, but I'm here to tell you I've come for you, and I'm telling you that it's enough. It's enough. James said it in the Word that it's enough, that we're without excuse. And if we don't start coming in and stop playing games and start being real inside and stop faking and acting like we're already okay, but begin to show the faith of God, we won't save another soul. We won't see the healing power. And the floods will overtake you. I'm going to read a verse, and I promise you, if God will turn me loose, I'll turn loose. Pray right now. You may often wonder what you can do for a preacher if you don't feel like shouting with him. Pray for him. Pray for me right now. Somebody needs this. Pray right now. I don't know what to pray. God's going to help you. Lord, help us get a hold of this word. Bless the preacher that he not get weak. Hallelujah. It's so hard to preach by yourself, but it does amazing things when you believe together. Sixth chapter of Genesis. We travel in, and behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh. Anybody seeing the baptism here? Anybody else there with me? Floodwaters come to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. If you don't see the baptism in that, hallelujah, I pray that you pray until you do. When we come into the depths of His Spirit, you have no choice but to give up what you're hanging on to. It does not have any power and dominion. And when I think about that, it makes me realize that drug addicts still have hope, because the waters are going to go over everybody, whether you believe it or not. The flood waters are going to come and try to purify and try to sanctify. And whether you let it happen or not, it's up to you. Think about the same protection
that went with them when they were running from Pharaoh. Pillar of cloud by day. Pillar of fire by night. God brought them through with purpose. The outpouring of the fire upon the offering of Elijah was one of the first times that it shows the significance of fire consuming what is natural. We have got to begin to be consumed. And you're not going to do it by willing it to happen. And you're not going to do it by just trying to make up your mind one day on your own. But it comes by faith. Sincerely knowing. Because faith defies what you feel. Faith defies what you see. And faith defies what is trying to afflict you. You see, I feel the Holy Ghost. Hear this. God is a present help in a time of trouble. But with thee, verse 18 in chapter 6 of Genesis, but with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. So know this, that there's an ark of safety for each and every one. Even though that he spoke that word just to Noah, that protection went beyond him. So you may feel like, well, Jared, I've just been going through a season. I don't know what I'm obeying God for, but I feel something. There's other people that's got to get in the ark. Well, my kids are okay and my family's okay and I'm blessed. I have finances. You've got to be ready because somebody else has got to be in that ark. Somebody else has got to hear the word of God. If you don't want to hear the word of God like this, I'm sorry. But God's grown me up a little bit, and I'm realizing I don't have time to play games anymore.